Earlier this summer, my family and I spent a week at Camp Galilee, the Episcopal camp tucked into the eastern shore of Lake Tahoe. We spent a great deal of time there. We worked at the camp for 4 summers, beginning when I was pregnant with Alice, so that gives you a sense of timeline. And then we lived there year-round for a year. And since moving back to the Bay, we've gone back as often as possible. It's always a wonder to go back. We get out of the car and smell the Jeffrey pines. We hear the waves crashing onto the beach. And we watch our kids take off to go meet their counselors and settle into their cabins for the week. On our first morning there, this time, I was reminded of another delightfully familiar wonder: the sound of the toaster in the dining hall. It's one of those big industrial strength contraptions with a conveyor belt that slowly clinks the bread along and then ka-thunk drops it down below. On the counter next to the toaster is an ample spread of butter and peanut butter and jelly, and it's always out, always available, no questions asked. Occasionally, things get a little bit exciting at the toaster, as at some point in the week, a camper will invariably forget that you should put the butter and jam on the bread after sending it through, and then it catches on fire in the toaster and smokes up the whole place. But mostly, the scene is blessedly ordinary. The bread is made from scratch there in the kitchen. It is fresh and soft and smells amazing. And it's not dramatic or particularly exciting. It's just bread. And sometimes the well-known and ordinary is really hard for us to embrace. Cue the frustrated crowds from Nazareth. They have been expecting anything but the ordinary. Quite the opposite, they've been longing for someone mighty, someone grand, someone riding in on a war horse or maybe even on the clouds. Someone acting with such power that there is no question that they have come from God. They're expecting someone who can turn their whole miserable situation around. They're hoping for someone who will overthrow the Roman army, this occupying force that brutally squeezes the life out of their days, robbing them of large-scale freedoms and mundane joys, both. That's what's driving these crowds from Nazareth: a lot of pain and fear, and also a lot of hope. And on some level, I feel like we often want this too. I mean, I don't think many of us are waiting for a military hero of a God to come and save us from the mess of the world. But hoping that God would show up very obviously in our midst as something glittering and miraculous and massive and powerful? Well, maybe yes. Plenty of days, that sounds pretty great. But to their dismay, what those crowds from Nazareth get is the kid from around the corner. They seem furious, but I wonder if beneath that anger, they are also just heartbroken. Back then, Nazareth was just a quiet little town up in the hills. Everyone would have known everyone. And so growing up, Jesus would have been popping in and out of their homes. One moment he was borrowing some grapes from this grandmother's table, and then the next he's tripping in a game of tag that got out of hand and turning over a baker's cart. They've seen him climbing trees as much as they've listened to him prattling on about what he's been learning in the synagogue. But he's a local kid. Even if he's grown now, to them he is utterly ordinary, absolutely one of them. And so they're feeling a whole swirl of emotions, anger that he would have the gall to claim that he has been sent by God when he's just one of them. And then maybe also disappointment, fear even, that if the wildly impossible thing that he's suggesting was somehow true, well, what a bummer. They've been hanging all their hope on a warrior of a Messiah, a God with lightning bolts in hand, and instead it's young Jesus from down the road? He can't possibly be good enough. Someone so normal, so completely like them, how could he save them? And then Jesus speaks up and adds to their bewilderment. On the one hand, he tells them that God has sent him to do this work, that God has empowered him to make it all possible, that he, in his very being, is of God. And then he also tells them that he is bread. The bread of life, the bread of heaven, yes, but before all the extra adjectives, he's bread. Wonderful and ordinary, of God, and also the most basic stuff of daily life. It is as scandalous as it is astonishing. It's scandalous still, I think, because it is so far outside our typical notion of where God is. Even all these years later, even after having heard all these stories of the incarnation, of how God took on flesh and lived among us, still it calls us up short, because still we tend to expect God to primarily be in the really big stuff. The sweeping miracles, the breathtaking awe, the inexplicable triumph. It's what the folks from Nazareth wanted. And I think it's often what we look for, too. Sometimes that happens, and it's glorious. And Jesus is telling us that even more than that, we should look for him in the most mundane parts of our lives. The basic stuff. The stuff so small we don't even notice it. The stuff that mostly goes without comment. That's where God promises to show up. But that bread, it can be more than just bread, can't it? At least that is definitely the case at Camp Galilee with their ministry of that solid old toaster. Simple as it is also so much more than bread. It's deep hospitality. It's a comforting steadiness, a safety net, one that kids especially appreciate during the more adventurous meals, the things that maybe they've never seen or tried before. All this toast it's a way of meeting campers where they are, many of whom have never been away from home before. The toast helps them settle into this new place. It assures them that they're going to be okay. It gives them strength to keep going, physically and I think also emotionally. This summer at camp, I stumbled into an epilogue to my appreciation of the toaster. The bread we shared at communion on the last night of camp was just the same as the bread they had slathered with peanut butter and jelly all through the week. The chef had made it as a big round loaf rather than a rectangle for sandwich bread, but it was the same dough. It was not flashy or dramatic. It was bread. And yet, when I finished sharing communion all the way around the circle of, all the outstretched hands of all the campers, the kids who had received first, saw that I still had lots left. And upon seeing this, they shot their hands back out, asking for more. And then the next kids asked for more, and then the next, until we were all laughing because it had become obvious that I was going to do a whole nother round, giving everyone seconds. This is the gorgeous wisdom of our kids. Reach for the good, simple stuff, and then reach for it again. Today we're celebrating the beginning of a new school year and all that is in store for our kids and teenagers, all that lies ahead for you guys to learn. But adults, I think we do well to pause and celebrate all that our young people already know deep in their hearts and let them remind us of this wisdom. Once in a while, there are remarkable flashes, those moments of searing beauty and remarkable clarity. And so much of our life, so much of the time is just, it's made up with normal days. The routine, the basic, hopefully the steady, not wild, lavish feasts, but good, hearty, simple bread. And this, Jesus tells us, this is exactly where he's showing up, where we can be confident that we will find him. This is where God is present and moving. Here in the mundane, this is where the Holy Spirit will catch us, steady us, nourish us, and lead us. Most of the time, it won't be over the top or glamorous, but this love will be threaded through all our days if we're willing to open our minds and our hearts and our hands to receive it.